Hello and welcome to the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson's and Movement Disorder Society. I'm Hugo Morales, MDS podcast host. Today we're diving into some promising research in Parkinson's disease treatment. Several lines of evidence suggest that aggregates of alpha-synuclein and their spread between neurons play a crucial role in how the disease progresses. Prasinezumab, a monoclonal antibody, is being explored as a potential therapy for early Parkinson's. This year, in the journal Nature Medicine, the prasinezumab study group published a post hoc analysis of the Pasadena study in their paper entitled "Prasinezumab Slows Motor Progression in Rapidly Progressing Early Stage Parkinson's Disease." Today, I have the pleasure to interview Dr. Gennaro Pagano, Honorary Clinical Associated Professor of the University of Exeter, London, Group Leader Medical Director, Roche Pharma and Early Development Neuroscience in Basel, and first and corresponding author of this paper. Gennaro, welcome again to the MDS podcast.
Thank you.
So I wonder if you can start by briefly explaining to our listeners the design of the Pasadena study and what were the main results before we move into the recent reanalysis of the Pasadena.
The Pasadena study is a proof of concept phase two study that is divided in three parts. The first part is a randomized controlled study of 1 year where prasinezumab with two doses, 1,500 and 4,500, were tested against placebo. And the primary endpoint of the study was the change from baseline in the MDS total score, sum of part 1, 2, and 3. And then the second part of the study is a blinded label study where we have everyone on placebo re-randomized to either the 1,500 or 4,500. And the third part of the study that is ongoing is an open label extension where everyone gets re-randomized to the low dose, to the 1,500 of prasinezumab. The study initially was two parts, and we saw that the primary endpoint, unfortunately, was not met. So prasinezumab did not reduce the progression in the total score of the MDS-UPDRS. But at the same time, we saw that prasinezumab reduced the motor progression, so the MDS-UPDRS part 3, over the course of the first year. Now, when the study was initially conceived, the prasinezumab treatment was one of the first tested in trying to slow the Parkinson's progression. So it was conceivable to think that the drug could reduce all symptoms. It's important to explore. At the same time, if you look at how much the symptoms of Parkinson change over time, you would see that the motor symptoms are the one that change, in particular the motor signs, the part three, over a course of 1 year, changed the most. And we look at that after we opened the study and we realized that the only scale that changed significantly over 1 year was the MDS-UPDRS part 3, where MDS-UPDRS part 1, the non-motor symptoms, and MDS-UPDRS part 2, the function related to the motor part of the disease, were not changing much over the course of the 1 year.
I understand. There was a sort of early signal there that the motor symptoms may have been modified, at least the progression with prasinezumab. And so that led you to consider this hypothesis that maybe some group or subgroup of patients that may actually be benefited from this. Tell us, in your reanalysis, was it any specified subpopulation that you wanted to reanalyze to see this signal or this change with prasinezumab?
When we do a trial that try to test a disease-modifying therapy, like prasinezumab, that could be a disease-modifying, you need to think there are two main problems. The first problem is the duration of the study. If the study is too short, you will not be able to see it. And the second problem is how much the people change in that period of time. So the only thing that you can do is either do a very long study, and we did this with the open label extension, right? We create an extension that's very long, or you can look at the population enrichment or stratifying with people that change the most in the short period of time. Unfortunately, in Parkinson's disease, we don't have yet a biomarker that can tell us fully this population will change faster. So the way in which we pre-specified, because all the subgroup in this publication were pre-specified before the primary analysis was completed, right? They were all based on the concept that Parkinson's disease progressed faster in some people than others. For example, one of the strong predictors of progression is the baseline staging of the patients. And we used the on-air stage. So people with on-air stage 2 change more over the course of 1 year in the placebo group versus the people that are on air stage 1, as expected. Same apply with people with the sleep problem called REM behavior disorder. These people, unfortunately, have slightly more aggressive disease, or they have maybe co-pathology. This is something that is still to be yet to be demonstrated, but they progress faster over the course of 1 year. And this was another pre-specified subgroup. We also look at the subgroup called diffuse malignant that is defined based on the data. And this was done independently from different groups in Canada and also using the PPMI population, the Michael J. Fox study. So this subgroup clearly show, or even with postmortem data, that there is more pathology in this group. Now, this is a data-driven approach, meaning that we included people that have the worst motor scale at baseline with part 3, but they need to also have one non-motor in a worse quartile among sleep problems, autonomic dysfunction, and cognitive impairment. The people could be also diffuse malignant regardless of their motor phenotype, but they have all three non-motor symptoms like cognitive impairment, autonomic dysfunction, and sleep problems. And also, we also stratify for the treatment. In Pasadena, we had treatment naive and MAO-B, right, in the early stage PD. And what is very interesting that all consistent subgroup show that in the placebo group progress faster as expected, and they respond more to prasinezumab.
Was there any difference of the patients that, for example, remember reading your paper that there was a division between the patients that may be taking MAO-B inhibitors versus the one that were the treatment naive? And since that these patients may perhaps have a more clear difference between the UPDRS's motor parts.
Yeah, if you look at the majority of the trial that are run in early stage PD, they only include people that are treatment naive. We likely included also the MAO-B subgroup because in the treatment naive, we saw approximately 17% reduction in progression on the part 3. That is minor, right? It's less than 20%. While in the MAO-B subgroup, we had approximately 40% reduction, so almost double. And why is that? People might say, is this the co-medication? I think one explanation could be basically numerical, like the signal to noise. If somebody's in the same stage of another subject but requires some medication, in some countries at least, people start with the MAO-B inhibitor, right? Especially in this very early stage of the disease. But they require some medication, so probably they're on the verge of progression. And this is one of the most difficult parts for drug developer and for clinician working in clinical trials is to how to identify the right patient to have in the trial. The best patient to be in a trial with the disease modifying are the patients that progress in the context of the trial. And luckily for us, we were able to include them because they change over 1 year. What is also very nice of this analysis is that there is no much overlap between the subgroup. Because people might think, okay, these are the MAO-B inhibitor. Maybe they also diffuse malignant. They also have RBD. No, they don't. So in the treatment naive, for example, the people with RBD actually respond more, right? So it's not an overlap between the subgroup. So this give also more validity probably of this analysis, despite the exploratory nature, right? We need to always put this into the context.
Apart from the UPDRS-III, any other scales that we've improved?
In the context of the 1 year trial, we look at all the scales that were in the study, like part 1, part 2, and part 3. These were the three main scales that were analyzed.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, part 1 and part 2, unfortunately, do not progress faster, not even in the subgroup. And this is also a very important element. So we did not see a difference in part 1 and part 2. We didn't in the diffuse malignant on the other subgroup. But they also do not progress faster. Right, so this is, again, going back to what I said in the first place. In order to show that the disease modification happened, you need the disease to progress. Otherwise, there is no difference between zero. Right, if you don't change, I cannot show that the drug works on change. And then it's always relative to the maximum number of points that people change. So if you change 5 points within 1 year, let's say, 100% effect is lowering 5 points. We show 40% effect in the MALBI, for example, and 70% effect in the diffuse malignant. So this is very reassuring to us. And it's not only in hypothetical strategy, censoring the patient in the primary analysis, but it's also true when we look at treatment policy, meaning that we do regardless of the use of symptomatic therapy, because some people doing the study start levodopa, for example, the results is still there. And this is very reassuring in this in the subpopulation.
Now, based on your findings on your study and reanalyzing all this data, it sounds very interesting that it's medication that may improve these motor symptoms in this specific subpopulation. But what about early stage Parkinson's disease that don't fit into these specific features? Is it something that is yet to be explored in your next trials?
That's a very, very important concept, right? It's only the people that are diffuse malignant, like rapid progressors, responding to the medication, or is everyone? My current interpretation of the data is likely to be everyone, but the trial needs to be different. So in order to see an effect in population that are earlier, you need a longer trial. And we had the opportunity to explore that in Pasadena because we have a second year, right? Not only the first year of the randomized controlled part, we have a second year where there is an extension that is blinded. And then we have another 5 years that are open label extension. So what we did, we compared the 4 years of the Pasadena treated with the real world data arm and the virtual control arm. These results are currently submitted and under review, so we might be able to talk about that in the future. I presented some of those at the last ADPD Congress, and we see a separation over time, also an additional scale. So, and this also for the people that are milder, right? Let's say treatment naive or other population at baseline. So to go back to what I said in the beginning, for a trial to show an effect, you need a treatment that works. You need the scale that you use that is changing over time, and then you need to run the trial with the right sample size and the right duration to be able to show this separation. And with the Pasadena design, we were able to explore more than one hypothesis at the same time, and this is why I'm so excited.
Wonderful. One last question from my own learning. Simpanemab is a medication that was trialed as well as alpha sort of a blocker. What is the difference between simpanemab and prasinezumab?
Unfortunately, I prefer not to comment on a competitor drug. I can tell you that every monoclonal antibody are different. And in a previous podcast, we actually discussed about that in detail with Tony Lang. So I would refer to that podcast where Tony can explain all this detail.
Thanks again, Dr. Gennaro, for sharing your research findings with us. And also I'd like to thank all podcast listeners and encourage them to go and read the paper, Prasinezumab Slows Motor Progression in Rapidly Progressing Early Stage Parkinson's Disease.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.